hearts and our minds this morning by your Holy Spirit, knowing that it is only by your Spirit that these words come alive, that they don't just sit dead on the pages before us. We ask you to be with us this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, if you're visiting with us this morning, I usually don't sound like this. I've had a cold all week, so I may sound a little weird to your ears. Our text for our sermon this morning is in Genesis chapter 39. Genesis 39. And we'll be reading the whole chapter. So Genesis 39, starting at verse 1. People of God, this is God's very word. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, the officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house and all that he had put under his authority. So it was From the time that he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for the bread in which he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" So it was, as she spoke to Joseph day by day, that he did not heed her to lie with her or to be with her. But it happened about this time, when Joseph went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was inside, that she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. And so it was, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and fled outside, that she called to the men of her house and spoke to them, saying, "See, he has brought into us a Hebrew to mock us. He came in to me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. And it happened, when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried out, that he left his garment with me and fled and went outside." So she kept his garment with her until his master came home. Then she spoke to him with words like these, saying, "The Hebrew servant whom you brought to us came in to me to mock me. So it happened, as I lifted up my voice and cried out, that he left his garment with me and fled outside." So it was, when his master heard the words which his wife spoke to him, saying, "Your servant did to me after this manner," that his anger was aroused. Then Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, in a place where the king's prisoners were confined. And he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all of the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. And there ends the reading of God's word this morning. So I thought today we would look at two Old Testament texts, one in the morning and one in the evening. The great thing about the Old Testament is that you don't have to look far and you can find Jesus, or you can hear the gospel. You know, the redemptive plan was never an afterthought, was it? It was always there. There's always the arc of the redemption of God's people from the very beginning. Augustine said that the New Testament is in the Old Testament concealed, and we see it all over the place. Sometimes you see a glimpse of Jesus in others. Sometimes you see the truths of the gospel being displayed all around certain stories. And this morning we have the privilege to look at Joseph. And right away, it's not hard to see Jesus in the life of Joseph, is it? To see the gospel coming forth in the stories of Joseph. Another great thing about Joseph's life is that we can see someone who trusted God even though the wheels were coming off all the time. Joseph trusted in God when he was in a pit. Trusted in God when he was sold to some Ishmaelites, not knowing what was going to happen to him. Trusted in God when he was sold to Potiphar. Trusted in God when he went to prison. Through this, through our text, we'll see that even when temptation came, even when he was by himself, Joseph trusted in the Lord. So for us this morning, think about this. Have you ever been tempted in something so bad, something you wanted so badly that you knew it was harmful for you? You knew it. But there it was, right there. And you could grab it. And I'm going to go out on a limb here and say, yeah, it's happened to all of us. There are things all over the place trying to grab our attention that are bad for us, that will harm us, that will take our eyes off Christ. And we've all been in situations where in our mind we thought, oh, this probably isn't a good idea. But then we went and did it anyway. And then afterwards we get so mad at ourselves. Like it was so easy to move away from that temptation. Why did I fall for it? You know, we're in good company, though, when we stop and think about that. Because the Apostle Paul wrote a whole chapter in Romans about that very thing. About even though we're Christians, and even though we're following Christ, sometimes temptation just gets too much of us. We do the things we don't want to do, and we don't do the things we do want to do. But there's other times, right? When temptation does come, and we fight, and we pray, and we rely on God's grace, and we succeed. Because, beloved, it wasn't in our strength, was it, that we defeated temptation? It was only by God's grace that we made it through, that we were strong enough to survive temptation. So now I want us to stop and think about our text, and think about Joseph. Joseph, between 17 and 20 years old at this time in his life, was put to the test and passed. Defeated temptation, not because he relied on his own strength, but relied on the one who was tempted in every way yet didn't sin. He didn't have anybody to ask to pray for him. He didn't have anybody to walk beside him when temptation was at his doorstep. How would we handle temptation like Joseph handled? You see, our adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion, waiting to devour you. It's a scary thought. But if you're in Christ, the Lord is with you. You are His. How often do we pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one? When temptation comes, and it will, we have someone to deliver us, don't we? We have a deliverer. His name's Jesus. So remember where Joseph's been, right? We've already talked about it. Thrown into a pit. His brothers don't like him. They sell him. You think your siblings don't like you? Have they tried to sell you? I hope not. Joseph goes to a land that wasn't his home, sold to Potiphar, so he sold twice. And we all remember who Potiphar is, right? Not only is Potiphar an officer of Pharaoh, so he's pretty high up, but he's the captain of the guard. He buys Joseph, puts him to work at his house. But what's great is that Potiphar can see the Lord in Joseph. You know, when we read through the text, when we read it together, did you count how many times the Lord was with Joseph? How many times the Lord blessed Joseph? It was 8 times in 23 verses. Moses wants you to know, Moses is the author here, the Lord's with Joseph. Over and over again, he's telling them, the Lord's with him. And it's crazy to think that Potiphar can see the Lord with him. It uses the Lord's covenant name there. It says Potiphar can see Yahweh with Joseph. And I think about our daily lives. When we're out at the workforce, or we're in the grocery store, or when we're at school, or when we're at the beach, can those around us see Yahweh? Isn't that how our life should be? In the things we do, and the things we don't do? I'm not saying if we follow Jesus, we're going to have our best life now. We're going to be successful like Joseph was. But if we live our lives for the goal of being salt and light on the earth, if our life's goal is to seek the kingdom and his righteousness and give him glory in everything, the world should know. They should see that. People will notice. Potiphar noticed. And he left Joseph in charge of everything. Jump into verse 5. So it was from the time that he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in this house and his field. Think about that. Potiphar must be an old guy. He's probably working in Pharaoh's army for a long time. Now he's retired. Now he's made captain of the guard. He has a field to work in. He has a house with servants. And the Lord's blessing it for Joseph's sake. Verse 6 says, thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except the bread he ate. Potiphar's like, okay, Joseph, you got this. The Lord is with you. I don't have to worry about anything. You're in charge. Make sure you pay the bills. Make sure I have light and food, and we're okay. They really didn't have light then. They had candles, you know. Joseph, it's a long time ago. Okay. Just sit back. He puts up his feet. And you would think this young man, being 17 to 20 years old, it would go to his head. Everything prospers when he touches it. You know, to be totally honest, I would struggle with this. If I was 17, today, I would struggle with this. And this is right where we get in trouble, isn't it? When everything's going good, there's no cares in the world, everything I do prospers, and then there's the devil. There he is. You're on top of the world, and guess who's walking beside you now? Waiting to devour. Because at that spot is where you start relying on your own strength and stop relying on the Lord's, isn't it? When you start thinking and your chest is puffed up, like, I got this. And you stop trusting in the Lord. And I think that's why this story of Joseph is so valuable for us to hear over and over again. It's so valuable for us to remember Joseph. Because going back to our text at the end of verse 6, Moses tells us, he sets the scene for us. And he says, now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. So not only does everything that Joseph touched turn to gold, he's also the best looking guy there. Some guys have all the luck. But as we can see, the devil was right there to tempt him. And how do you tempt a young man? The world does a really good job at it today. You put a woman in his life. That's not his. That comes around all the time. This isn't some new trick the devil just made up recently. The devil has been playing that card for thousands of years. Verse 7. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife, casting longing eyes on Joseph, she said, lie with me. There it is. The devil's placed the bait. Now all he has to do is wait and set the hook. Is Joseph going to take the hook? Take the bait. Bite it. No. And that should blow our minds. No. He doesn't. He'll have none of it. Listen to Joseph's answer. But he refused and said to his master's wife, look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from you, from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? It's a 17-year-old boy. Two things I want us to look at here. The first half of verse 9. There is no one greater in this house than I. Nor has he kept back anything from me but you. See, Joseph sees right through the lie that Adam fell with in the garden. Did you catch it? Did it ring any bells? Potiphar told Joseph, you could have anything in this house but that one. Anything. Can't have that one. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree in the garden you may freely eat, except one. Snake comes in. Did God really say? Come on. You surely die? Same trick. Why? Same devil. And you think he stopped using that trick? Nope. Why? Same devil. Now the second thing is that Joseph knew where the line was drawn. Finishing verse 9, nor has he kept back anything from me except you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Joseph knew adultery was sin. And to Joseph, sin is a great wickedness. Let me repeat that. Sin is a great wickedness. You know, that's something the culture today wants us to forget, doesn't it? Sin is a great wickedness. We live in a society today that tells us, yeah, certain sins, that's okay. Certain sins, we like to promote those. And I don't want to get stuck on certain sins that the culture promotes. But it's easy to find them. You just turn on the television or the internet or the radio, and you realize it's a certain month this month. And you're like, oh, okay. The culture promotes sin and wants you to know about it. Our culture is saturating us with the idea that sin is okay. Love of self. I could be anybody I want to be. Going back to our text, Joseph knew sin is a great wickedness. But beloved, we have something that Joseph never had to tell us that truth. Right here, Scripture. God's standard for truth at our fingertips. Not only do we get fed twice a week from this pulpit, but I pray you read this every day. Truth coming out at us, telling us what sin is. So we know where the lines are drawn. We hear it. We see it. Joseph couldn't go home and open up his Bible to Romans chapter 8. He couldn't. He didn't have it. He couldn't spend time in God's Word to help him. But one thing that Joseph did have, he had the Holy Spirit. Right? He knew God's truth in his heart. You're wondering, how is the Lord with Joseph? He's indwelt by the Holy Spirit. He's God's anointed right there at that time and place. You think about that? He was blessed and anointed for a job that God had given him to do. Joseph becomes a deliverer, doesn't he? How did he know adultery was sin? You're thinking, well, the law was not going to be written for another couple hundred years. What's the Bible tell us? It's written on our hearts. It's man who hides the law. It's man who covers it up. Ah, I don't want to see that. Now we see stories in Scripture where people who have the Word of God, it may not be complete, but it's there. He has it. And still fall for temptation. Think of David, mighty King David, who God uses mightily. Sees a woman. Whoops. A married woman. David knew. Devil tricks. But when David found out, when his sin finally went, bam, hit him right in the face, he realized, oh boy. Remember last week, Pastor Stromberg was talking about Psalm 32. When he kept silent, his bones started to grow old and burn inside. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. It's that sin in his body. He knows it. And then we get to Psalm 51, and he confesses that sin. For I know my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. See, David fell when temptation came, and he confessed his sin. He knew he blew it. But Joseph didn't blow it, did he? He made it through the first test. He made it through that first time of temptation. I did this. Devil says, okay. You know, the devil's never really gone, is he? The devil never really leaves you alone, does he? Every time you try to live your life to glorify God, guess who's next to you? Did God say? Temptation is always right around the corner. If you start believing that the temptation's gone from you, you are going to fall. That's just the truth. When you start thinking you could do this on your own, you are going to be on your face. What's the Gospel of Luke tell us about the devil? When the devil had ended every temptation, he departed him, talking about Jesus, until an opportune time. Devil's not dumb. He knows there's going to be an opportunity. Try to trip us up. As we can see with Joseph, he raises the stakes. Potiphar's wife bothered Joseph day after day after day. Joseph wanted nothing to do with it. Verse 10, so it was, as she spoke to Joseph day by day, that he did not heed her to lie with her or to be with her. Day after day, she tormented him. He's not giving in. He seems like he fought the good fight. Devil says, okay, I'll get you a different way. How are you going to respond when no one's looking, Joseph? It's easy when people are around you. Verse 11, but it happened about this time when Joseph went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house were inside. Game changed. How much easier is it to fall in temptation when no one is looking? This is a problem we have today more than ever. So much easier to fall into temptation when you think you're by yourself. No one's looking. Because when you're with other Christians, okay, I got this because you got me. You're going to pray for me. We can do this. But what do you do when you're by yourself? How much easier is it to say, it's just one sin? No one has to know. And you're thinking to yourself, why do these thoughts come into our head? Do we have a low view of God? Like, why? Why is it that when temptation comes our way, it's like all our thoughts of God just go out the window? Why do we stop thinking about the kingdom and righteousness? Why do we let that little minute temptation come in? Because that's all it takes, that little tiny bit. And once you let it in, doors are opened. And all we have to do is remember who we are. Beloved, who are you? Who are you? You're Christ. Who do you belong to? You're not your own. You're a new creation. You're covered in righteousness that's not yours. You belong to Christ. And you see, Joseph knew this better than anyone. By himself, being tempted, the Lord was with him. He knew who he belonged to. Joseph never really was alone. So you get to verse 12. What happens to Joseph? She caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. It's almost like Joseph knew the New Testament and read the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul writes all over the place, flee from sexual immorality. Run! That's the word, run! He had to get out of there. Unfortunately, he left his coat. I want us to stop and look at this text just for a moment. Because if you've been paying close attention as we've been reading through this, another word comes up 8 times in our text. It's the word hand. The word hand comes up. Going back to verse 3. His master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord had made all he did prosper in his hand. Into verse 4, then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put under his authority. That word authority in the original Hebrew is hand. Verse 6, he had left everything he had in Joseph's hand. And then you get to verse 12, and it says, uh-oh, that's not Joseph's hand anymore, is it? Oops. Story shifts. Now we see Potiphar's wife's hand. You would think after withstanding this whole temptation that the Lord would completely bless Joseph, that he would praise Joseph, that he'd make him king right there. It's not the case. It almost looks like the Lord has turned away from Joseph here. So reading in verse 17, see what happens. Then she spoke to him with words like these, talking to, this is the wife talking to Potiphar. "This Hebrew servant whom you brought to us came into me to mock me. So what happened, as I lifted up my voice and cried out, that he left his garment with me and fled outside. So it was, when his master heard these words, which his wife spoke to him, saying, 'Your servant did to me after this manner,' that his anger was aroused." Potiphar comes home from work one day and goes, "What's going on? Where's the person who's supposed to be in charge of my house? He's not here. Why is my wife screaming in the house? What's going on?" He's not happy. But you get a hint that he truly doesn't fully believe his wife's story. Remember who he is. Potiphar is the captain of the guard. The punishment of this should have been death. Instant death. He should have taken Joseph outside, cut off his head right there. "You don't touch my wife." But he doesn't. He doesn't. Instead, he takes him to prison. How's the story end? How's it end? For Joseph, it doesn't seem like it could get any worse. From the pit, being sold again, now he's in prison. Listen to verse 21. "But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy. And he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand," oh, there's that word again, "all the prisoners who were in prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority." There's the word again. "Because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made prosper." Did the Lord ever leave Joseph? No. Does the Lord ever leave you? No. Even when you beat temptation and things get worse, do you stop and think, "Lord, where are you?" No, he's still there. He's never left your side. Everything's back in Joseph's hand. Joseph is exactly where he needed to be, exactly where the Lord wants him. Maybe some of you are probably thinking right now, "Well, that's Joseph, and this is me." And that's true. This story isn't about being like Joseph, is it? This story isn't for us to have better morals. But why is this story written for us then? Why do we read these things? Why should we listen? Why should we learn? Remember who the original audience is. See, the original audience is the Israelites in the wilderness. And every time something would come up, they would complain. "Moses, there's no meat. Moses, the water's bitter. Moses, why'd you take us from Egypt?" Moses wrote this down so they would know the Lord was with them no matter what. When things got bad, they should have known the Lord was with them. Now, what about us? In one way, we're the same. If you were in Christ, the Lord is with you. You have his Holy Spirit abiding in you, dwells in you. You have the same strength that Joseph had. Joseph couldn't do it on his own, and neither can we. It was only by grace alone, and faith alone, and Christ alone, that we can do anything. Christ provides the strength. Christ provides the way. Listen to this in 1 Corinthians. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. He's the way of escape, beloved. He's not going to open a door. He is the door. It's him. He's the deliverer. Remember how Jesus taught us to pray. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. He's the deliverer. He wants us to ask him to deliver us. You see, ultimately this story points to the one better than Joseph. The one who's tempted in every way yet never sinned. Think about Christ, born of a woman, born under the law, the most perfect person ever. Lived an entire life in a world of sin. Never failed once. Never fell once. And he asks you, come to me when temptation comes. I'm the deliverer. Christ, the spotless lamb who takes away the sin of the world, is yours. Do we call on him? Do we seek him when temptation comes? Now, this is a good time to hear this sermon because summer's here and temptation's only going to get worse now that it's hot. Rely on Christ. My prayer is that we take encouragement and hope in this story because the Lord is with you. Even if our adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion right next to you, Jesus has your back. Let us pray. Father God, thank you that you've given us your Son, not only to complete the law for us, but to deliver us, to take encouragement in, to take hope in, to know that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. Even when temptation is attacking us, breaking down the door, we can turn to you. And you're our way of escape. Help us to remember that. Help us to rely on that. Lean on that. Help us to remember that the truth is in your word. That we can go to it. And that you set us free. Thank you. In Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.